As we return to down to brass tacks, I just want to read paragraph 15 of Barbados's trade policy review, its last trade policy review, which was in 2014, as a follow-up to the last caller talking about the price controls. It says that since its last review, Barbados has continued efforts to encourage competitive markets through competition policy and consumer protection enforcement activities, as well as utilities regulation. That is the real remit of the FTC. Continuing, it says, considering the small size of the economy and number of suppliers of certain products and services, enforcement of competition rules is crucial for Barbados to enhance competitiveness and consumer welfare and attract foreign investment. The Competition Authority has been granted ample investigative powers. That's not the paragraph that I wanted. I was looking for the one that was speaking to the price controls. I think I have the wrong paragraph. Or maybe it's further down. Moving on, it says, yes, foreign investment. The Competition Authority has been granted ample investigative powers and the strong enforcement mandate. During 2008 till 2014, 17 inquiries and investigations of anti-competitive conduct were conducted, of which some 13% resulted in decisions of breaches of competition policy legislation. The investigations conducted were related to telecommunications distribution. But there was a paragraph I just read about the few things, paragraph 16. Barbados maintains a generally liberal trade regime with few barriers to entry. However, the state intervenes in the economy mainly through the provision of incentives and credit, as stated above, but also by controlling certain prices. And remember, I mentioned to the gentleman that there are not any more price controls and is governed by the specific legislation under the Miscellaneous Act. So the specific comment here is that maintaining a stake in the range of enterprises. In late 2014, price controls at both wholesale and retail levels were applied on diesel, fuel, gasoline, kerosene, liquefied petroleum gas, chicken wings, chicken backs, and necks, and turkey wings, along with regular sugar. Those are the only things that price controls. Additionally, prices of utilities are regulated by the competition regulator, which is the FTC, and the BADMC is the sole state trading enterprise for poultry, meats, and onions. Although it does not have a statutory state trading rights, the BNOC, which is the Barbados National Oil Company, is the sole importer of gasoline and fuel oil. Also, a number of commercial companies in Barbados remain partly and totally state-owned. And I think that is the paragraph that speaks to the price controls that the young gentleman was calling about pretty earlier. So in terms of whether or not there can be a decision or a budget that can speak to these particular items that will be at this particular rate would not be allowed. And we know we have the basket of goods which you sometimes have no VAT or zero VAT, etc. But there's no possibility of intervening in terms of price controls as it relates to our food items in Barbados. This is Down to Brass Tacks. You are on the air. Good afternoon. 14 minutes past the hour of 12 p.m. We're going until 1.
Good afternoon, Lisa.
Good afternoon.
Right. Now, Lisa, can you tell me if a caller critiques the recent budget, the mini budget, or in whole or in part, does that mean that the person is a Democratic Labour Party supporter or sympathizer or anything of the sort?
No.
I say that because most of the callers, most people who call today and other days who criticize the budget or even criticize the Barbados Labour Party, you hear other callers calling in, and sometimes moderators too. When the DLP people can't do this and when the DLP people can't do that. There are people who didn't vote for anybody who, over time, complained that they were disillusioned with both parties and they didn't vote, but they still have a voice. And you can even get a DLP supporter criticizing some aspects of the budget because some things might affect them as well. So I don't think that people should be just classified as a DLP supporter just simply because they criticize the budget. People have a right and they should be able to do it if this is truly a democracy. Now, having said that, Lisa, my concern is this. Let me ask you a question first. In July this year, there are going to be some school leavers coming out of the secondary schools around Barbados. Do you know what would be the range of these students? What would be the number of students coming out this year, approximately, or who comes out every year?
If I know the number of them?
Roughly, you know, well, it runs into the hundreds or the thousands.
Of school leavers? We usually have around 3,000 entering the new schools.
Right.
So, probably 3,000 or depending on the age group. If you're talking 16, average 16, it probably may be just under 3,000 because some of them go on to secondary, go on to complete sixth form schools or go on to community college or polytechnic.
Yeah, but at the same time, the sixth formers that is there, they would also be leaving too. So it would still be about 3,000 or more.
If you're talking average 16, the number is going to be different from average 18, but yes.
16 and 18 will come out as well. Now, where would these people go? Where these people normally would go? These school leavers, where they're attracted to, where they go, what they're going to do? I would presume that they're going to study. Some of them?
Not some all of them. The majority of them don't.
Right. So where do they go? Where do they go in society?
A lot of our youth. Well, there's a percentage which I don't have of the number that go on to tertiary level education, and I don't think that number is in the majority.
Right.
But then we have students who work from pretty young, and then we have students who have odd jobs. Well, you can call that in the working category. Few of them. Right. Are part of the same thing that I'm a part of. Yes, they're part of the youth entrepreneurship scheme, moving on to advance themselves from an economic perspective, entrepreneurship and leadership perspective. And then we have a number of our, and this is a known fact, we have a number of our school leavers who don't have the same opportunities because of lack of experience, and they now have to go and learn a trade or be more qualified in the field that they have interest in.
Right. So, in effect, you're saying that they would aim for the polytech, they would aim for the UE, those who come out, especially out of the older secondary schools, they would aim for the UE or BCC, and the bulk of them, I believe, would head for the polytechnic, because if you are not qualified, and we always hear on the program, look for a trade, as you just said, or look for a skill. You don't just pick up that off the street sometimes. If you want to do things properly, you should head for the polytechnic. Now, the polytechnic absorbs a limited number of students annually because of the capacity, right? It's limited. And what can happen is that those who are not accepted in the full-time programs can also apply to the evening programs because that's what they actually do. In fact, if you listen to the reports from the some of the not the graduation, but the annual speeches and so, I think that those who try to enter the polytechnic annually might be in the range of about 5,000 or more. And it is not only the current crop that tries to go in, but the ones who didn't get through last year and the year before, all of them are applying to the polytechnic, which can probably only take 500. So you might have 4,500 other students who want to get into the polytechnic in the full time but can't get in, but will be willing to go into the evening. So some of them go into the evening program and do the same courses. However, though, are you aware that in 2014, just like UE, students had to pay tuition fees?
For the polytechnic.
That's right, yes?
Yeah, I'm aware.
You are aware?
Yes.
So roughly what you think would be the cost of one of the evening courses, what is the average?
I had
cost?
A niece there, and her fee was just shy of $400.
Well, okay. That means you're talking about a registration fee. UE has a registration fee of about $700.
$800,
yes. Yes, but they went on to charge tuition fees, which is what the administration BIP just the cost.
She wasn't charged tuition.
I'm talking about tuition fee.
There was no tuition fee for the program that she did, so I'm not...
Good, that's what I'm telling you. But I'm saying to you, are you aware that from 2014, students at the polytechnic were charged tuition fees because of the economic situation in Barbados? I didn't hear a lot of people talk about it as we talk about the BC, about UE. But the fees were also increased astronomically at the polytechnic. So, for example, an average course that used to cost $400 linked to about $4,000. I don't know if you are aware of that. And what it meant was that the registration of for students in the evening program actually dwindled to very low. In 2014, there were actually no classes because of things like this, lack of registration and so on. Now, we are talking about promoting technical and vocational education in Barbados. We are talking about getting a job, getting trades, getting skills, and so on. Mm-hmm. And we are also talking in this budget about protecting the vulnerable and the poor. The people who aim for the polytechnic are poor people. They are vulnerable ones who want a skill because they didn't leave school with the CXEs. This budget did not speak to and address the issues that the young people are having. So out of 5,000 people, 500 can get in the polytechnic on the $400 registration fee. But the bulk of the courses, the students who can't get in the evening, they can't get in. Now, let us say if you're going to do mechanical.
They also have it online as well. I'm a little familiar with what's going on at the polytechnic. And they do have some online courses. And every single student doesn't have to pay a tuition fee, as your suggestion.
Let me just say to you that the evening programs have to pay tuition. That's why I'm making the point.
But you just said fourth. Okay. Let me hear what you're saying.
I am saying to you that the online programs are run in the evening. The evening courses are paid for, and they are paid in the amount of four. If you want to do auto mechanics thing, mm-hmm. whether you want to do it online or whether you want to do it face-to-face in the evening, these courses go up to $3,000, $4,000, and not even for the complete
right.
program.
There's the intermediate, there's the advanced, there's the beginner's courses. You're talking about the advanced courses, which is the
beyond. No. I'm talking about the basic courses.
The basic courses are not for $4,000.
Look at a whole program. A whole program will cost you more than $4,000. What they have done is extract components out of the main program, which you may call a basic, which is if you're going to do it to do a degree, each year you will pay for a component of the degree, and that is the part you may see for a small amount of money. But the overall cost is high. But what I am saying is this: that let us say you want to do nursing auxiliary dance. Let us say a gas attendant. Somebody working at the gas station want to elevate themselves from poverty and want to open a little nursery, we'll call it senior citizens home or daycare center. They would want to go to the polytechnic, and the course fees are high. Now, the nursing auxiliary, for example, would be, say, just about $3,000. And I am saying to you, these people need an ease through the budget. It did not speak to these poor people. A lot of people going to UE can be sons and daughters of lawyers and doctors who could afford to pay. They get an ease, and the burden and the bulk of the problem is left with the people who want to elevate themselves. They cannot do it. No gas attendant would find money to pay $3,000 to do a nursing auxiliary course. Auto mechanics courses. If you want to do carpentry today, we're going to get all crop of carpenters from in the next generation, in the coming years to come. We're going to have to import people from Guyana again because we are not educating the people. If you look at the amount of courses that they have at the polytechnic in the evening, you will realize that most of them have been canceled because of poor registration. You can't even find sometimes 10 people in the whole of Barbados to register to register. But when it comes to payment time, they can't pay for the courses. So I am wondering if this was an oversight by the Mali administration or if it is something that is going to be looked at. Because these people make a critical part of our society. And I would like to know why they are excluded. And if at this last stage, if they cannot be included in the review, because I understand there's going to be a second phase and a third phase. School is starting in August coming. And I understand that for the UE, you don't have to pay any fees from September coming. Why should these students going to the polytechnic have to pay fees from September coming? They should not have to pay either. You find, Lisa, is something wrong with waiving the fees for these students?
It's a legitimate question. I'm going to bring your attention to ideas for Barbados. which is ideas, IDEAS, for the number 4, Barbados, at barbados.gov.bb, as the area where you can share your suggestions, recommendations, or whatever. Yeah. Ideas for Barbados. You're making a legitimate query. What about the persons in the other tertiary education institutions, whether or not there has been and would be? But I think there's a justifiable registration fee for persons at polytechnic, and what you're querying here now has to do with the tuition fee. So I'll suggest that you put that one on the table for the...
It's just a tuition fee. I'm not saying they remove the registration. That was there for years, although it increased. But I'm saying that because of the economic situation, tuition fees went on in 2014. So I'm saying that this should be removed as well, so that we can help the really poor and vulnerable, because the people going to... The bulk of the people who leave school without certificates going to head to the polytechnic. And we encourage them to go there. And do you know that the evening division is not as limited as full-time? Because they...
You know, you know a lot about the... you seem to be closely related to the polytechnic in some form.
No, this is on the website. Everybody knows this. If you want to apply to do a course in auto mechanics over the years at the polytechnic, everybody knows it's written there on the website. You could have gone to St. George Secondary School. You can go to Princess Mary, because the polytechnic deliver courses all across Barbados over the years. Mm-hmm. But it can't do it now because of the limitation of registration, right?
Your suggestion is well made. Please consider removal of the fees for the students at the polytechnic. The only thing I don't necessarily agree with you on would be your conclusion that the majority of persons who go to the University of the West Indies, their parents can't afford it, that they're children of doctors and lawyers. That's a totally erroneous statement and conclusion. I'm a student of the University of the West Indies, and my mother was a maid, and my father was a waiter. And they couldn't afford what the tuition fee would have been then and or now. And at that time, registration fees were paid by somebody else. So I don't think that you're fair to suggest that most of the students from there, and even now, we have a lot of students from university who are made up of, you know, this working class Barbados that we are from. This is Down to Brass Tacks. We're going to move on now to, as you can hear the music, we're going on to the latest. I'm Lisa Gale. It was my pleasure, and we'll be going until 1 p.m. Thank you. Down to Brass Tacks, we have an accounts clerk and a small hotelier. She said she works at a small hotel as an accounts clerk, and she's been paying for UE fees, and she's a single parent at that. That's merely to continue the discussion more along the lines of those persons who go to UE. This is Down to Brass Tacks. You are on the air. Good afternoon. Are you there? Down to Brass Tacks. Are you there? Another gentleman says, Miss Lisa Gale, why are you letting him make these claims that only rich people go to UE? Okay, I dealt with that. He said it is not true because many children from the local income bracket go to UE. So his argument is not true. Understood. And I think I responded to him as well. So these WhatsAppers are on the ball here with that comment made by the previous caller about those persons who attend UE or who are the parents of those who attend UE. Down to Brass Tacks, you're on the air. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
Yes, I'm calling. Yesterday I found that the program, I didn't really appreciate the way the program was going with those two, Mr. Vikram and Shankar, I think he has the right name. I think everybody has their own opinion to say what they have to say pertaining to the parties that's going on now. But I found that Peter was really, really knocking the former parties DLP. And I think that we as adults, you know, we've got to sometimes listen, even though if we don't appreciate a party or what a person might say, whatever it is. Sometimes it's good to listen. Just hear what a person has to say and, you know, let them go on, and then you say, okay, thanks for calling or something like that. But I found yesterday the program was a little too, it was really swaying. It wasn't nice. And I even turned my radio off at one point because it was really disgusting. The moderators have got to sometimes listen, hear, and say nothing. And it goes well. And if Peter Wickham has a problem with the Democratic Labour Party, I think he has got to solve that on his own and not on the public's program. Thank you for listening to me, ma'am. Do have a very pleasant day.
Thank you. This is Don't Do Brass Tacks. You're on the air. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Ms. Gale.
Yes.
I would like to reply to the gentleman who, the last caller before the news.
Okay.
He was saying that this administration that is in now isn't catering to the vulnerable as far as like the UE's fees and what's not is concerned. But I'd just like to say that I think Ms. Motley's trying her best to see what she can do in all sorts of the areas, and she cannot just make everybody at the same time get a piece of the pie of what they would like. There will be the critics who would come in and criticize this and criticize that. But we've got to look at what happened with the last administration. If they hadn't left the island in such a great debt, we would have had so much more that you can give, if you understand or see with me. But it's because of the great debt. And, you know, she tried to help everybody, but she can't just go there and help everybody. And she asked everybody to come on board. So I guess what she can fill in. Some of the people, I was glad if it could be better but for them, but they would just have to just bear the strain. And in time, things will get to a good footing. And Ms. Gale, the lady who just called about Mr. Wickham, I think she has a problem with Mr. Wickham. She said if he has a problem with the Democratic, everybody has a problem with the Democratic Labor Party, and they should keep their mouth shut, because after they put the island in such a mess, they should be ashamed to come on air. And I agree with everything Ms. Peter Wickham said. Thank you, dear, and you have a nice afternoon.
Thank you for your call. This is Don't Brass Tacks.
Good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
Yeah, my name is Mohammed Nasser.
Good afternoon.
Good afternoon to you. You were talking to a gentleman just before the break, and some interesting things came up about the polytechnics and training people in skills and things like that, mm-hmm. and about money to pay and things like that to get these people trained and so on. You know the real fundamental problem in Barbados? In the 60s and 70s, and maybe in the 50s too, people were trained right across this country in average little workshops. And like I always like to use Keith Jones as an example. I can use myself too as a bigger example too. But people in Keith Jones' shop would have been able to straighten chassis, repair any kind of car body, paint, prime, putty, body fill, do anything at all. In my place, and in Strut, I mean, in Smith Engineering Works and that, at me and Curtin and the Hamptons, all us normal people who went to poor people too, who went to schools, live at 7th standard, and went into trades to work for, went into little shops to work for nothing. And we used to bring more foreign exchange when we opened our own business, because obviously we started at a higher level. We start with the fellows that we went at were not as smart as us, no disrespect. Just that we new equipment come into place, and we learn on a better equipment than they would have learned on. That's the only difference.
Okay.
And today, I am telling you that every day I walk around, there's somebody, some engineer, some welder, somebody thanking me for the contribution I made to them. And they're holding big jobs in England. Some of them are retirement now. England, Canada, America, all about. I am a little concerned, and I know that this is up your field, so I am a little concerned when we believe that we can shut these small businesses down and then talk about a polytechnic to train people and things like that. Let me explain something before the point that I want to make to you, because I'm very impressed with what you're doing, but I want to explain something. One day we brought three girls from the polytechnic to do some upholstery work. And we discovered that they were using three different operations to do a job that should be done with one in one operation. And I call Shirley Hall one of the best, if not the best, upholsters this country ever produced. a simple young woman named Shirley Howard. She's up in there now, but brilliant. I said, Shirley, she was the supervisor. Show them how to do that, how to stitch that. Shirley, take the thing and do it, broom, one time like all the people they used to do. You know what the three girls said? That is not right. That you are wrong. The polytechnic is right. So they do it in three operations, and they do it, and my people do it in one operation, and they thought they were right. Mm-hmm. Isn't it that the polytechnic did not know what to do? It is that they did not learn at the level that we taught at, because these people used to travel the world watching everything that go on. They used to send people all over the world to see and to develop. Because once they develop, obviously they will develop the country, because you can't keep them. When somebody gets them to feel like leaving you, they're gone. Now, I want to explain saying that, so therefore we should try and get some of these industries going, these little small shops and things. And I'm very proud of the Prime Minister Barbados for insisting that she's going to make some money available to get some of these small entrepreneurs going. Now, let me look at the entrepreneur. I don't know what it's called, entrepreneur, but it's entrepreneur, that's what it's here. You cannot train anybody to be an entrepreneur. Nobody can train you to be an entrepreneur. What people can do is make things available, finance, opportunities to get some place to work, and things like that.
But you can also help them with the business planning, which is really the mechanics of entrepreneurship.
I agree, but that's not training to be an entrepreneur. You're training them to manage. There's a difference between the two. An entrepreneur is a human being that takes a lot of risks, has no guidance, and that's where the experts like yourself and the others come in and say, listen, young man or young lady, you got a lot of talent, a lot of ability, but you're doing the economics. You're not working on your economics. You're not working on your planning. You're not working on your advertising. So that's where they come in now. People like yourself and the engineers and the accountants and the financial analysts and so. But an entrepreneur is a risk taker. He look at something and say, I can do that. Or she looks and says, I can do that. And she start doing it, or he start doing it. It is the control of them that is important. So he will know that he was employing 5 people, but now he's employing 20 people. He cannot manage that business with 20 people. He's not trained to do it. So that's where the experts like yourself and so who go to the university and study these things will come in now, get a good salary, and manage that business. And it's still his business, but he's just paying more. Look at a bank. 99% of people who own shares and banks can't run a bank. Am I wrong? Come on, let me be serious. They can't run a bank.
Yeah, you're right.
But that's why I know, though, that they have managers who are employed, highly trained to manage banks, and they will manage it and make it a success. So in Barbados, I believe that we have, and I can say it all the time, the mistake that we have made in this country is that we invest too heavily in tourism and not in the structure to support tourism. So if we had not killed the manufacturing and the agriculture and make it come and bring it along with tourism, we would not be in this problem we're in today. And I am asking the Prime Minister to seriously look for a building that you don't have to pay nobody no money to get people like NASA and yourself and whoever to go and teach these young people when the day comes. We can't teach them every day, but if you get 40 talented men that could teach 500 people, though. So what I am saying, I really teach them how to do things instead of going to the polytechnic, can't get the money. That, and I'm glad what you said, the children, the families are poor. And a lot of these shop people we got in Barbados, 2 generations or 3 generations, they were in bad condition. I come out of a poor family, so I know what it is to struggle to become a businessman. And I am hoping that our people, instead of wasting time trying to attack a program that the government just put that we should work with, trying to see if we can find ways of means to attack, I don't know what, it's like punching the air. You can't knock out nobody punching the air. All I'm saying to Barbadian people is, and I'm saying to this government, please find a way to sit with the tourist sector and insist that they do more business with manufacturers of Barbados, with agricultures of Barbados, not air talk. You tell them, if you want my assistance, this is what you're going to have to do. Now, everything can't be done in Barbados. We know that. But what I am saying is that I believe the tourist sector will work with the entrepreneurs in Barbados and small business people from Barbados, if they are encouraged to do it. Right now, they are not. I would like your opinion if you have one on it.
More entrepreneurs. Was the last one?
No, the one is that the, we should get the hotel sector
to work more closely with agriculture and,
yes,
and manufacturing.
Yes, because a lady came here one time, and I believe Watson to do it for, say it for himself, and she wanted some things made in this country, and everybody said it can't be done. And she asked, who's the best body in this area? And they told her, and she went to Sarah Watson, and Sarah Watson apparently said that these materials were not available, and she showed him that they were available. And Santa Watson did a fantastic job. He wasn't a Santa today. He was the great entrepreneur that he is today. And we need, she was an interior designer come to do hotel work from America, you know. And she came here and make sure that all the things she want for the hotel was built, was designed, she designed and were built in Barbados. That is how we believe you should move tourism along. Not giving these people every incentive they want, and they import everything, and all brilliant young people but here can't get any work. And I finally tell you this, bridges in America, if you, there are people who are trained that are actually working on bridges in America. In Canada, England, and America, they are black. People who live here or work, I can say black because vast with black. And they're going to companies, and they know everything. The other fellas, they're only trained in one thing. And because of the multi-skill and multi-talent, they all get big jobs as supervisors. Now, that is true.
I really fully support the move to advancing entrepreneurship
in a
more comprehensive fashion, not just teaching people business planning and doing a little bit of business training, but that there be a... I did a little bit of training over the last 3 weeks. And the first day, I had the opportunity to sit with some young people between the ages of, I think the outlier was 14 and 24, but the majority of them were 18-year-olds, 19-year-olds.
Mm-hmm.
And just really to, I mean, 20-something people in a room, two or three of them have worked before. I think one of them has a current job. And it means that our youth aren't... The opportunities are not necessarily as readily available. So I asked the question, who's interested in running their own business? And I probably only got about 3 or 4 hands. And I encouraged them. I don't believe that entrepreneurs are born, you know. We have two different views. Because I've heard you before on it. And I really feel that sometimes unless you get the challenge and you don't take the risk, you don't even know what you have inside of you. I really believe that. But these young people, because they weren't thinking about entrepreneurship, and I said to them, why don't you consider that? Right now, you don't have necessarily the qualifications and the work opportunity, but you can find something that you like doing. What is your skill? And, you know, and really then start to become that, what I call that small entrepreneur who would then learn the skills. And so I fully support you there. What I would say here is there issues relating to mentorship. I like the idea of financing these smaller businesses to see, you know, help them to boost, you know, that little capital can sometimes go a long way in advancing even just one business. It can become many more businesses, multifaceted, etc. So I'm excited about what can happen as it relates to entrepreneurship on the landscape of Barbados. We have a lot of entities still doing a lot of work, the Youth Entrepreneurship Scheme, the Barbados Youth Trust, Development Trust, a whole set of entrepreneurs out there, the Barbados Entrepreneurship Foundation. I sit on the board of the BEF and the movement towards advancing agriculture, as you just said. We have a qualification.